Welcome to Between the Lines, where we journey beyond the surface of Scripture with hosts David and Jonathan. Get ready to deepen your faith as we uncover the hidden gems of the Bible. Without further ado, here's our show.
You're with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, WVFFradio.com 97.7. We are knee-deep in the amazing book of Jeremiah, into all kinds of end days prophecies, end days destruction, wrath of God coming down. The last chapter 23 was focused on false shepherds, pastors, modern day name for the priests, God. And if you were with us yesterday on 23, you'll know that he was talking about these modern day false pastors and preachers. God, he says he will treat them as murderers and thieves. In the chapter 24 here, and the nation of Israel is going to be carried away into Babylon now. And God's going to tell Jeremiah that, although the nation as a whole had turned its back on him, there are some within the nation that had not. He's going to tell him that he's going to make a promise to keep them safe. And he's going to tell him what he's going to do with the rest of them. And it rolls right into modern day times, what happens to the rest of them. So we're right here in Jeremiah chapter 24. The Lord showed me, and beheld, two baskets of figs were set before the temple of the Lord. Yeah, it's an analogy there. Those don't just stand for, those are just not figs, they're people. Two baskets standing before God.
Almost like the goats and the sheep.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Okay.
After that, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had carried away captive Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and the princes of Judah, with the carpenters and smiths from Jerusalem, and had brought them to Babylon. All right, it is happening. All right, one of the baskets had very good figs, even like the figs that are first ripe. And the other basket had very naughty figs. The King James throws words at you. Bad figs. Mm-hmm. Mostly rotten, okay? Naughty figs, which could not be eaten. They were so bad. Then said the Lord unto me, what seest thou, Jeremiah? He's always asking the prophets. What seest thou? Because at that time when God does that, I do believe he allows the prophet to see into the other dimensions of life, which Adam could see into, and which modern day science has in the last 20 years just realized using the super collider, that there are seven more dimensions, at least 10 total, three that you can see and the rest that you cannot. So he says, then said the Lord unto me, what seest thou, Jeremiah? All of a sudden, he can see differently. And I said, figs. The good figs are very good, and the evil, very evil. They cannot be eaten. They are so evil. They are so rotten, no one would eat them. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, like these good figs, so will I acknowledge them that are carried away captive of Judah, whom I have sent out of this place unto the land of the Chaldeans, for their good. I'm putting the good folks, those who still follow me in the nation of Israel and Judah, I'm putting them here for safekeeping. Okay, I'm not forgotten them and I'm not punishing them. Bringing them here for safekeeping.
Even though outwardly it seems appears
that way.
Right.
For I will set mine eyes upon them for good. And I will bring, it doesn't matter if you're in the belly of a whale. If God wants to preserve you, he will preserve you. So he's going to preserve those whose hearts still attempt to follow him when they're in Babylon. And I will bring them again to this land. And I will build them and not pull them down. And I will plant them and not pluck them up. And I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people. And I will be their God, for they shall return unto me with their whole heart. Yes, they still had, there was just a little bit still in them. There was still a spark of life wanting to follow God is I'm put them over here into Babylon for safekeeping, and I will ignite the heart once again. And a lot of times adversity brings out the best of the spirit man. Like the prodigal son found himself lying in a ditch in a feeding swine, and all of a sudden he remembers the joy of the Lord, his father's home. Oh, I only wish that I could be a servant in my father's home at that time. Not even the prince that I used to be, just a servant. And while they're in Babylon, their hearts, he says, will grow to their capacity. And as the evil figs, which cannot be eaten, they are so evil, surely, thus saith the Lord, so will I give Zedekiah, the king of Judah, and his princes and the residue of Jerusalem that remain in the land, and them that dwell in the land of Egypt, and I will deliver them to be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth for their hurt, to be a reproach and a proverb, a taunt and a curse in all places whither I shall drive them. You could spend an hour on verses 8 through 10. It's unbelievable what is in there. So those with a good heart, a remnant, he's going to, while in Babylon, he's going to foster that heart to follow him fully. And the rest, he's going to make a reproach. And in 70 AD, they're going to be scattered into all the earth. And they're going to be made a proverb. How many times have you, and a curse in all places whether I shall drive them. Anti-Semitism is alive and well throughout the world for the last 2,000 years. Everywhere one of these people was sent, God drove them into all the nations of the earth. They kept themselves as Jewish people, and all of their neighbors resented them and hated them for reasons they couldn't even explain themselves. Because what God said right here and about 27 other places, he says the same thing in different words. They're going to pay in this life for their sins. I say that all the time. You pay for your sins in this life. You do things. Smoke cigarettes. It's going to send you to hell? No. It's going to ruin your lungs? Make your skin all wrinkly? Yes, you're paying for your sins. Because you're damaging the body that God gave you. You know, Jesus healed the man. He said, go and sin no more, lest the worst disease come upon you. He is telling them right here that they're going to pay in this life for the sins, especially what happens to Messiah when he comes. I'm going to read that again. And I will deliver them to be removed into all kingdoms of the earth for their hurt. And that will happen in 70 AD when the Roman legions come against Jerusalem. To be a reproach, hated, and a proverb. Jew, you know?
Yeah, your name becomes.
You're acting like a Jew. Branding. You're
right.
Money, Jew. You know, it's right. It's unbelievable. You argue like a Jew. You all the other ones.
Yeah, like you're cheap or
you're
like
cheap.
That.
You're tight, and just, it all comes back to the proverb that God says right here.
All the stereotypes have come about because of God's proclamation.
A taunt and a curse in all places, whither I shall drive them. And we see the ultimate payment in the Holocaust in Germany during the 40s. And I will send the sword and famine and the pestilence among them till they be consumed from off the land that I gave unto them and their fathers. And that there again, ultimate end of that with the Holocaust. Chapter 25, Pastor Dave's tongue is tied today.
I can't get out of my mouth right now.
Culmination?
I say that word.
You're here with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, having fun again in the book of Jeremiah, WVFF 97.7. Chapter 25, the word that came to Jeremiah concerning all the people of Judah in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah. That was the first year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. The which Jeremiah the prophet spake unto all the people of Judah and to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, from the 13th year of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, even unto this day, that is the 23rd year, The word of the Lord hath come unto me, and I have spoken unto you, rising early and speaking, but ye have not hearkened. And we've seen that in the last dozen episodes. Jeremiah just continually telling these people, turn your hearts around or else you're going to be carried away into a foreign land. And they respond with, go away, we don't like what you say. Every time you come here, we get nervous, we don't like you. And they even threw him in the stocks for a while. But just basically kill the messenger because we don't want to hear the word of God.
What you say doesn't make us feel good.
No, it doesn't. In fact, we're going to put you in stocks until you change what you're saying to something, to more of a feel-good message. Mm-hmm. Pastors in America, feel-good message. God does not like feel-good messages. He likes the message of follow me with all your heart. If it hurts a little bit, follow me with all your heart. The more you follow me, the less it will hurt because I will cushion your way. And the Lord has sent unto you all his servants, the prophets, rising early and sending them. And ye have not hearkened, nor inclined your ear to hear. They said, turn ye again now, every one, from his evil way and from the evil of your doings, and dwell in the land that the Lord hath given you unto you and to your fathers forever and ever. That's the way it was meant to be. If you followed me with all your heart, God says, like he told Abraham, I give you an everlasting covenant. Follow me with all your heart and circumcise your children. Only when the children could not follow God, he laid the law on them as a punishment. And Christ came to reestablish the first covenant. Follow me with all your heart and be baptized. Circumcision of the heart. So turn around, Christian. Turn around now while you can, before your finances are destroyed, before your marriage is destroyed, before your children rebel. Turn around and follow God with all your heart. And go not after other gods to serve them and to worship them and provoke me not to anger with the works of your hands. And I will do you no hurt. So simple, follow me with all your heart so I can bless you and not harm you. And I see that there, do not anger me with the works of your hands. I'm not interested in the law. To obey is better than sacrifice, especially after Christ came. Christian, if you're telling people that you have accepted the righteous washing of Jesus Christ, and you're holding on to the law, there is something diametrically opposed there. You cannot accept the salvation of Jesus Christ and hold on to any portion of the law. The Bible says if you hold on to a tittle of the law, you must do it all.
It's the spirit of religion.
You're telling Christ what he done just wasn't up to your standards. You need a little bit of the law to make you feel holy because his sacrifice just wasn't enough. That's a very, very dangerous situation to be in spiritually. Yet ye have not hearkened unto me, saith the Lord, that ye might provoke me to anger with the works of your hands to do you your own hurt. Works of your hands to your own hurt. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, because ye have not heard my words, and you can sit in certain churches, Christians, and not hear the words of God. You hear the words of people and their feel-good prosperity messages or their legalistic messages. Those are not the words of God under Christ and the original first covenant. That is the law which Christ came and finalized so that you didn't have to live under it anymore. But yet, we just want to hold on. We just got to make ourselves holy on Sunday. That's all we do, Jonathan.
Yeah, it's like the repairman shows up to your house and you're like, nah, I got it.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. I can click the remote control on Sunday. But I always had the wife do the cooking on the Saturday. And we don't even drive anywhere on Sunday. And God forbid the neighbor's car gets stuck in the ditch on Sunday. It'll have to stay there till Monday. I can help him on Monday. Well, Sunday is not the Sabbath. You're already failing. You're failing in trying to fail by following the law. The law does not allow you to substitute Sunday for Saturday. Sorry, I know you went to the beach on Saturday. Under the law, you were very sinful, but thank God Christ gave you the freedom of his amazing sacrifice. Paul says all things are legal for the Christian. Not all things are good for the Christian. If you follow God with all your heart, you'll know the difference. And keeping things in moderation is all that's required. Verse 9, chapter 25. Behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant. Ah, you didn't know you'd see him in God's kingdom, did you? Nebuchadnezzar, my servant. But he's not Jewish, Pastor Dave. No. And we run into lots and lots of folks in this book who know the living God, the God of the Jews, who are not Jewish. God never excluded anyone. His special ones, the line, the Abrahamic line, were for a purpose, to bring forth the saving grace of Messiah through a Jewish body. In fact, when they come out of Babylon, God says, I'm so done with you folks. The only thing you're going to be good for me for in the future is to bring forth a Hebrew body for my son to be born into. So Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, saith the Almighty God, and I will bring them against this land and against the inhabitants thereof and against all these nations round about, and will utterly destroy them and make them an astonishment and an hissing and a perpetual desolations. And to take that a little further, Nebuchadnezzar was under the guidance of God. By the time Daniel's done with him, he is a full-blown servant of God. He actually wrote one of the chapters of Daniel. And just like Joseph, when he went to Egypt, you know, he became a father to a very young Pharaoh. And after, when Joseph was done with Pharaoh, the whole nation of Egypt at that time was following God. There's so many things between the lines in this book, it's amazing. Moreover, I will take from them the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride and the sound of the millstones and the light of the candles. There will be no blessings from God. There will be no normal life. I'm going to take it all away. And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. Interesting. And it shall come to pass when 70 years are accomplished that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith the Lord, for their iniquity and the land of the Chaldeans, and will make it perpetual desolations. Okay, so you just told me, Pastor Dave, that Nebuchadnezzar was a servant of the Almighty God. But it says here, after 70 years, God's going to punish him. No, he's going to punish his son, because his son did an abomination to God. He did not follow in the ways of his father, Nebuchadnezzar. He went in and took the temple vessels that were under the jurisdiction of Babylon at the time, and he set his concubines and his wives out there, and they poured wine into them. You remember the big hand that appeared on the wall, Jonathan?
Mm-hmm. They fall out their seats.
and then he crapped his pants. Yeah. And that's right in here between the lines. Yeah. That must have been a scary sight.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been in some scary situations, and that never even almost happened. Mm-hmm. But the Bible says it.
Hey, you catch something out the corner of your eye sometimes, they give you the willies.
Oh, only the hair on your body stand up.
Apparition or manifestation.
Yes. Yeah. But to relieve yourself in your pants, it must have been absolutely terrifying. Yes. Well, back to this. That was his son, God. I mean, God is laying out the entire prophecy here of the Babylonian captivity, all in a couple paragraphs. And I will bring upon the land all of my words which I have pronounced against it, even all that is written in this book which Jeremiah hath prophesied against all the nations. For many nations and great kings shall serve themselves of them also. And I will recompense them according to their deeds and according to the works of their hands. I'm going to read that again. There's a lot of stuff in there. And I will bring upon that land all my words, which I have pronounced against it, even all that is written in this book, which Jeremiah hath prophesied against all the nations. For many nations and great kings shall serve themselves of them also, and I will recompense them according to their deeds and according to the works of their own hands. Yes, Babylon and Nebuchadnezzar are doing God's work by dragging the nation of Israel into captivity, but That's a no-no to lay hands on God's people, even though God is directing it as punishment for the Jews. Punishment for Babylon will have to come as a result of that, but you see, God waits till Nebuchadnezzar has died because Nebuchadnezzar was his servant, and the punishment comes during the time of Nebuchadnezzar's son, and America has a very similar punishment coming, and it's right here in this book. God says, I need you to protect the nation of Israel during a last day's battle, and after that, punishment will come for the abominations that you have done against me, the gods that you have worshipped over me, America. You were once a golden cup in my hand. Now you're a cup full of abominations and the blood of martyrs, and in 1 hour your end shall come. It's all right here in black and white. We see this happen to Babylon, and it's going to happen to America, but it's all going by the book. Fret not, Christian. Don't fight against God, King Saul. Don't try to mitigate God's prophecies away because you can't. Embrace them. Understand God's has everything in control, good, bad, or indifferent. He's in charge.
We'll be back with more spiritual insights on Between the Lines after a brief message from our sponsors. Stay tuned.